Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
You're listening to and watching VFN Radio on VFN TV. Just going to give a big shout out to all of our Christian Television Network audience. Don't forget, we are a Now Word. We're coming to you live. Excuse the on-air editing, because we say we'd rather speak to you live than to come in all pretty and perfect and everything. Well, except for Pat. He just wakes up that way. But,
that's right.
You know, we have to work at this thing, so we just kind of throw something together and come on in like that. If you have not yet gone to the Torch, you need to go to the Torch. You need to go to the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. I think you can see it as I'm speaking behind me for those in Christian Television Network, but you can see it at VFNTV.com. I mean, with this article right here, Woodrow Wilson selected before he was elected. Was his wife the first female president? There's no question mark there, but I'm sure one's going to show up today because that is the question. Is there any relationship between the Obama administration? And the reason why is because you'll hear yesterday how literally this college professor was a good speaker. His name was Woodrow, but he later became Governor Woodrow Wilson of New Jersey and President Woodrow Wilson, who was the one who convinced America we need to get involved in a world war, World War One, because of economic reasons. And long story short, he thought he could make a deal with the devil and then throw the devil out.
Right.
And what happened was things got rearranged dramatically. He lost his wife in office, and he was given a new wife. A new wife that, according to the author of Wilson, and you can find out more about that, go to VFN Torch and click on the article or on your app. Woodrow Wilson selected before he was elected. Was his wife the first female president of the United States? And that's what he says. That's what he says in his book. He's because he was locked down in his room for 1.5 years because of a stroke that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we're going to be talking to you about some significant things. And the reason why we're telling you these things, it's because, first of all, that's what God's laying on our heart to share, and we want to be faithful to what God is saying. But understand, as the church, and that's who we're talking to. We're talking to the church. We're talking to those who God's drawing to himself, those that walk with the Lord, those who have gone astray that in hopes that you would come back to God. And we're not talking to the world and trying to give a worldly perspective or tell the world how to be a better world. We're just talking to the church.
That's right.
You know, and if you are listening and you know what we're sharing just kind of confuses you or you think it's political, it is so far from political. And this is about spiritual things, because we're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, which is a letter that was written to the church of Ephesus by the Apostle Paul, that he says, you don't wrestle against people. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, dark spirits and all. And so understand this. If America is under attack, and it is spiritually, and darkness is obviously in many places, which we've already talked about that, the reason why is because the light is absent, and that's why we're trying to keep the conversation light, that what spirit is it? You know, what is the spirit? What's happening? And God has begun to just reveal to us methodologies of seduced power and Korah's rebellion and Alinsky tactics. And we talked about in organizers of the night versus organizer of the day, that in the context of that. Our president taught Alinsky tactics for 4 years. He worked as a community organizer, and it's a book that's dedicated to Lucifer. Saul Alinsky was his mentor, and
Rules for Radicals,
and President Bill Clinton's wife,
Hillary
Clinton. She did an essay on it, and when she went to college, and. And whatever it was, when her husband became president, they wouldn't even let her. They sealed her paper up. Mm. You can find out about this. And you're trying to think, what's going on? Well, the book is dedicated to Lucifer. The techniques are you can find out about. This thing's been going wrong. Organizing in darkness has been happening since Lucifer organized one third of the angels against God.
That's right.
And it's something the Lord's just been laying on my heart, you know, when thinking about, because obviously, you know, we got to rethink what we're saying in America.
Right.
We got to go back to the blueprint, the Word of God, and say, you know, things that we've accepted as the way of doing things, and this is just what we've done. You know, we've developed our own traditions, American religious traditions, you know, and maybe there, some of them are God's traditions, maybe some of them are not. I doubt very seriously, though, according to George Bonner, that $1.3 million per baptized believer was a tradition, it was a godly tradition, because, I mean, how could simple fishermen be ministers in the gospel if they had to catch so much fish that they could sell it on the open market and raise $1.3 million to baptize one believer? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Crazy.
I mean, poor that Sea of Galilee wouldn't have any fish in it at all, would it?
And it's a small sea.
Yeah, it was a small sea. And in understanding that, this, we got to rethink things. And this is going to shock you. This is going to shock you. But I don't care. If it's real, I mean, think about it. If it's real, if this is real, this is going to really, because, you know, what was Lucifer's gift? I mean, what did he do in heaven? Does anybody know what he did in heaven?
He was a worship leader.
Yeah, he's a worship leader. And there's something about music that we all love music. And I love music. Do I not love music?
Yes, you do.
All I'm kinds. Very eclectic. A little bit of bagpipe back after a while. I got to turn it off. But I just love just the gift of music, and I love to hear musicians, you know, play whatever instruments, and I'm just amazed by it. But that's, you know, it's a gift. And just like a gift of administration or a gift of leadership or the gift of helps, whatever it is, it's a gift. And when we find out in Matthew chapter 7, you know, just because we have a gift doesn't determine who we are. But understand that some people have the gift of finance. And I remember one particular bill collector, it was given an identity because he had access to a lot of money. The reason why he had access to a lot of money is because he collected money. He was a bill collector, but he was identified as a banker, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was given favor, and, you know, and it killed him. It literally destroyed him.
Yeah.
And I watched his family fall apart and all of that. And the fleshly carnal tendency of us, of human nature, but we can just talk about America, is for us to think that because someone has money, then they're right.
Mm.
I don't know what the percentage is, but those that and we're going to be talking about, you know, so I want to have this conversation while we're on the air and Christian Television Network, that we have this tendency to think just because you have money, you're right. But I don't know how many people won these lotteries, but they say almost every one of them was destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which means if the presence of money does not mean the presence of wisdom.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. And I was listening to Glenn Beck. And Glenn Beck was talking about this young kid that was at the Dairy Queen that somebody dropped a $20 bill. Blind person did. And this lady behind the blind person picks it up. And the manager, the young teen manager, whatever, says, that was this man's. She goes, no, it was mine.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Welcome to America. I misspoke. Anyway, yeah. So then the Dairy Queen manager, you know what his, you know, healthcare plan is, his hourly wage. He pulls a $20 bill out of his pocket and says, here, you drop this, and gave him the $20 out of his own pocket.
Wow.
Oh, awesome.
And so Glenn says to the young man, he says, you know, you can be anything you want to be. I mean, there's no limits. If you're willing to work hard, if you'll work hard, and this is the thing we forgot about in America. If you'll just work hard, not watch work, you know, don't watch it on TV, actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are the subject of the reality TV. You're working it. And, but if you'll bust your rump and work hard, with the right value system and honor God, God will bless you. And what he said was, you know, you'll meet, he's telling this young man, you know, I've been around, I've seen kings, I've seen people of power and that type of thing. He's trying to inspire him.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't know what the percentage was. It was like, you know, maybe 1%, 3%. You're going like, wow. But about the other 98%, you just go like, how did you get here? They're like, I don't know. It just happened. And you know, you're, everybody thinks just because, you know, you're talented at something, that you know something, just because you have finance that right. you know something. And just because you play an instrument, you know, that you are something. The truth is you can play an instrument. But if you submit that instrument to God, the way that a teacher has to submit their ability to teach to God, the way that a businessman and a woman has to submit their business to God, then God can really use you. The sad thing is, like finance, music has the tendency to cause people to want to worship the person. Mm-hmm. That's what, I mean, think about it. I mean, you're in the presence of God. You're leading worship for God in heaven. You're an archangel. Your name is Lucifer. And it's so powerful. Music is so powerful that one third of the angels who stand in the presence of God, right? One third right. of them said, you know, I know you created all this and everything, but this music just stirs me. It's got to be spiritual. There's something. I think this is God. It's like, no, God is God. That's a man who's been given a talent, or an archangel's been given a talent, and it's stirring something inside of you, which is supposed to be worship of me, God would say, not worship of Lucifer or the gift. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, you know, God allows us. By the way, God will allow you to be stupid. Mm. It would be great. Maybe would have saved a lot of journeys, right? At any point, it would have been really great if you would have said, this is stupid.
Right. A little help here.
Yeah. right. And so he's really thinking, he's like Korah. He thinks he's getting away with it. And all of a sudden, he gets removed from the presence of God forever. And so I think about, you know, Jesus' ministry. I mean, he had this awesome ministry, obviously, right? And I mean, he did nothing and said nothing unless he heard the Father say it and do it. This is the question I have to ask you today. World, America, I'm asking this question. You might want to plug your ears, musician. Did Jesus have a worship leader in his ministry? I mean, did he even have as much as a banjo or a violin? Did he have a flute? I mean, did he even play the spoons or something? You know what I'm saying?
The guitar.
I mean, what did he?
Nope. Not a
So one. What was wrong with his ministry?
Nothing.
Not a thing. Rock the world.
I think you just shook the doctrine of America. The thing is, it's like, it's cool that you can play the bongos, bro. But you need to submit that talent to God, and maybe God can use you. But just because people organize around you, they did that around Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you, it is time for the people who have the gift of finance and the gift, because people are gathering around you, but they're gathering around you because you have money. Believe me, the second you don't have it, they don't have you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because people come around you, understand the tendency of this carnal nature, even angels in the presence of God came around somebody who had the gift of music. In the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And hell now has been designed for Lucifer and these angels. One third. And so don't just organize. Don't just gather around gifts. Have gifts gather around God. Understand that what George Barner revealed, I believe, in his book, Revolution, that says that approximately 82% of people believe worship is about them.
Mm.
Which means 82% or whatever that number is, can be seduced by worship. And so I want to encourage you, if you are a musician, first of all, first thing is, if you are a leader in God's church, I want to encourage you to stop worshiping your worship leader.
For real.
You know, somebody said, the second most important authority and position in the church is the worship leader. Can you imagine God going, the second most important person in heaven is Lucifer?
Right.
You know, right? Jeez. And it's like, well, what about this lady who has the ability to pray for long extended periods of time? You lift up the church. And what about this one who ministrates the church? And what about this one has the gift of giving? No, you're worshiping that gift, and you're destroying that worship leader, because they need to know that they're worshiping, leading people to worship God, not them, nor you, nor your program. But I just want to encourage you. I just want to challenge you. Begin to return back to the heart of worship, what it's all about. You know, forgive God. Ask God to forgive you for all the songs you've been singing and all the music that you've been playing that has led people to you, and the how you used it to seduce people and people of finance that would pay you money that allowed you to do what you were doing instead of you just submitting to God, even if you were dead broke with your guitar in the wilderness, tending a few sheep, and say, you know what, God, I want to be a part of this harvest. I want to be a part of this great harvest. Dear God, forgive me for bringing worship to me. I don't want to be like Lucifer. I want to bring people to worship you.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the conscience clause issues, it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of vfntv.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country and Israel, I'm going to go to vfntv.com. And I'm going to say, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN-TV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together, so you can go to vfntv.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors, thank you to our partners, and God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're going to be talking about in today's programs. We just talked about something probably pretty interesting to you. Is everything okay? You like, you fell out of your seat over here. Oh, my goodness. Did y'all see that? Did y'all see that look? Oh, he's like his whole face.
It's okay.
Completed.
It's okay.
You all right?
I'm all right.
Did you just get an email?
Wow.
Are y'all having a baby or something?
No.
It's triplets.
Just some things amaze me.
Really?
Wow.
I used to be shocked. Now I'm just there. Right. Well, we're going to talk about today's programs is Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister, warns America. Mm. He's warning America, if you still want to be the power that you are, you need to remember the lessons of the past. Tell us about North Korea and some other things. And I'm thinking like, okay, Israel just said to America, who is the world, was the world, we're still perceived as the world's dominant power. And God can just pull his finger and take the last couple pegs out. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that game? You ever seen that game? I can't, you know, I'm not, I'm sure Patson, he likes games.
He likes games.
He likes games. The
Monopoly, stuff like
that. Yeah. We live Monopoly. Why are we like foreclosing on your mama? I can't believe that you did that. Pay out, woman.
That was you.
Pay out, woman. That was you.
Paul's like, no, I'm not going to give you a break. You're going to pay me.
I know.
I'm not going to give you a break.
It's just a game.
I ain't got time for games.
It's just a game. You know, I want to be the shoe. I want to be the shoe. I want to be the shoe. Anyway, it's not a real jail.
What were we talking about?
The game that you were playing, the where they stack up wooden blocks like Lincoln Logs.
Jenga?
See? See? Wow.
My kids play that game.
Hey, I apologize to the kids
Jonathan,
right
let
now.
Me know.
Yeah,
let
I've
me
seen
know.
It before.
Let me know. We've played this
what
with
I
you.
Hear.
What
just,
I hear. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Just send the picture, children. Send the picture.
And so what you do is you pull, it's got this big stack of
blocks.
Blocks, you know, I guess. Like railroad ties, like micro railroad ties. And you keep pulling them out till it falls. And whoever pulls the last one out, it falls. And so many, first of all, why would you want to pull some? Why you want to play a game that works your nerves? You know what I'm saying? Just come with me. I can take you on
just
a journey.
Hang around.
I can take you on a journey. That, fiery furnaces and lightning from heaven and just all kinds of stuff, man. You bungee jump, but forget that could save you money, man. Come with me. Let's just go fight Jay-Z. Anyways, not the singer, the spirit. And so, with that, keep pulling them out. I guess somebody looks another turn, and finally, whoever pulls the last one out, it falls. But the thing about it is, it gets more unstable and more unstable and more unstable. And I believe, well, I know, sad to say, that a lot of things have been pulled out. Mm-hmm. They've been totally removed. And there's a whole understand this, most people work off the seat of their pants. They don't project. They don't plan. I think only 3% of people, they say, write down their goals, whatever, 3% plan it out. They have no plan. That's why you have to go work for somebody, because you don't have the ability to believe. Right. I mean, you're in a country that you can do anything you want to, but you chose not to use those things.
The plan is a napkin.
Yeah, no. And then you just plan a march outside the person who actually had some entrepreneurial spirit that was going to go out and make this thing happen. Now you're telling them, this is our company. He's like, ooh. No, it's not. It's not. It's big different. Make payroll a couple of times and then.
That's right.
And then. So many things have been pulled out. And I really believe what is being confirmed by Jacob, by Israel, by the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who just said the worst thing has ever happened in the talk since 1938. Was it 38? You can hear more about it yesterday on the Torch. It is a nuclear option. Only one true God is the name of the post that was there. But we only have one or two more Lincoln Logs left, or one more Pinko. What do they call it? Pinko?
Jingo.
Allegedly.
I don't know.
One more Jingo log.
Oh, my goodness.
And think about it. And this whole progressive spirit, this whole spirit of the land, it's thought this thing out for about 100 years now. This began at least during the time when Woodrow Wilson was selected as a professor and became the president. It's been at least that long, but it's really darkness that's been around since Lucifer organized. But understand that we got to pay attention, that you can get so focused on this next Lincoln Log or Pinko thing,
Jenga, right?
Jingo thing being pulled out, that you're buying into the narrative. You're just every time they pull another one out, you just talk about it and you focus on it, and it becomes about your life, and then you argue it, and they know that you're going to focus on it, but they got five more planned to pull out.
Oh yeah,
they're planning on pulling everything out until it crumbles, so that it can reboot up in the utopia that it's supposed to have always been, with everybody wearing gray clothes and gray dresses and nobody really wanting to work. I mean, why work barcodes when they take away? Yeah, barcodes. Wait, I thought we talked about the. You're talking about the. You're talking about the concentration camp.
All right.
Okay. All right. I thought I was talking about. I'm talking about Russia. Yeah, United States, Russia. Oh, yes, there are people right now in the that's been through the concentration camps, the Jews and others, that they put a tattoo on their hand, the number. They were given a number. And today, you'll just be given a chip or a barcode or whatever. It's probably more like a tattoo that just has some sort of skew thing on it. You know, you can scan. That they probably can scan from a satellite.
No doubt.
We're not going to go there. But understand that this is huge. We're going to be talking about... Now the Prime Minister of Israel is telling America, after a conversation with the president, this is what was reported, we'll be talking about it, that and CBN News is reporting on it, that he told the president on the phone yesterday, if you want to remain the power that you are, you need to rethink what you're doing right now, because Iran can be another North Korea. And by the way, we have nobody in North Korea. There's an American right now held prisoner in North Korea, a former vet. I don't know why he would go to North Korea, but former vet. And
the only diplomat we have is Dennis Rodman right now. I mean, come on.
Oh, great.
We're using our time up. Anyway, so and the thing is that, and that means, you know, Iran would be the same, you know, way in the context of that, as we have Pastor Saeed that's in prison there as well. We're also going to be talking about, hopefully get a chance to, about will Jerusalem be divided again? Because that's the ultimate thing. They want to make the east side of Jerusalem a Palestinian capital. You know, Jerusalem, not right. Pal-ism, you know, Jerusalem. And we're going to continue the conversation about assistant to the president, Valerie Jarrett, close friend, because they're calling her de facto president now. And it seems like God was revealing to us what's going on. Great friend of the family, but it seems like when she was recruiting Michelle Obama, there was a lot more involved in the context of this. We'll talk more about this.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. Mm-hmm. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation, but it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends.
It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio on Christian Television Network. You're watching us across the world, watching us on Christian Television Network. And a big shout out to our listeners and viewers there. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
The Jingo man who plays Jingo. And John Ramos.
Hello.
We're excited about today's program. We're going to be talking about, in today's program, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is had a phone call yesterday with the president of the United States saying, if you want to remain, CBN News is reporting, that if you want to remain the power that you are, the superpower, you need to learn the lessons from North Korea. And we'll be talking about that. But also we're going to continue the conversation about this division of Jerusalem. I mean, you think about it. Mm-hmm. Because the reason why they want to divide Jerusalem is they want to use the east side of Jerusalem to make it the Palestinian capital. And it's not Palrusium. You know, it's Jerusalem. And everybody knows this. And we want to talk about the capital. We've already declared in our beliefs as a nation that the capital belongs in Jerusalem, but we're trying to appease the Arabs, actually Islam, and leave it in Tel Aviv, when all we have to do is move it there, because we've already said it was, even though they tried to change it back in North Carolina, and they booed the whole concept of that, but they're trying to appease it. So make sure we talk about it. But then we want to continue this conversation about this real nice looking lady friend, beautiful woman, it appears. I don't know her. Great friend of Michelle Obama's, and now reporter, we understand, a great friend of the president. But you've already heard already, you know, this is unfolding before us, that they met when, it appears, according to Valerie Jarrett, and you can see her and hear it on the VFN Torch, when she was speaking to C-SPAN, that she went to recruit Michelle Obama out of the private sector and bring her into the public sector, and she invited her fiancé. Oh man, I wish you had more time. This guy, I mean, he said the word fiance 15 million times.
Did he really?
We're like stuck on this place. And, you know, my fiance. I'm like, my goodness, you got a fiance? Very sad before you got a fiance, because now it's just all about, does she have a name? Does she have a name? Yeah. You know? And I guess he was just real proud. He's just real proud.
I guess.
He's real proud. You know, I guess then the next thing is like, she's my wife. Anyway, so what Michelle said, getting back to what we were talking about, I need to run this by my fiance. And she wasn't. I'm talking, this is two different stories. This is a serious commitment. Valerie said that they had a lot of student debt. And if you go on to school, I mean, you know, I can imagine a law debt degree. Mm-hmm. I need to run this by my fiance, Bob. No, it was actually Barry. No, Barack. It was Barack. And at that time, her fiance, who was courting her, according to his words. And they have a plaque, by the way, where they had their first ice cream together in the city.
Really?
Yeah. Where she was deciding, reportedly, whether she wanted to have a relationship with him or not. And so what they decided, what Valerie said at that particular meeting there, according to her, was, hey, this, because Brock came to the table, met him or whatever, and said, he listens to his wife and he listens to me. And, which is great. You should listen to as much counsel as possible. But, when you're the leader, you're supposed to eventually make the decision yourself and lead. And so we found out, it's like, man, Valerie just kind of, she was asking her and eventually, I guess, them to come out of the private sector and come into the public sector, in other words, government.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are today. President Barack Obama is right in the White House today. Mm-hmm.
That was about 21 years ago, so it's been a long-lasting relationship.
21 years ago. And we want to talk about that because power, as we've talked about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And so there's good things and there's negative things. And we want to talk about is if America's under a bad state, if something's going wrong in America, there's something spiritually wrong. We're spiritually sick. Something happened. So what spirit is in the land? We wanted to find that out. We began that conversation actually sometime back with talking about, you know, Woodrow Wilson. And then we began to continue to talk about Woodrow as the author that we talked about yesterday with the book that he had written Scott Berg, written called Wilson. And he confirmed exactly through his detailed research what God revealed prophetically in the context of it was that he said that his wife, which was selected for him after his wife died in office, and who basically could do everything he could do when he had a stroke, a handful of folks, the wife and a few doctors basically locked him in his room and ran the country, according to his reports and his biography, what he writes about him.
Wow.
And so we want to say that because that's our history, that's our history. But also the fact is, what does that mean spiritually? What was going on? Because the truth is, if this particular Washington socialite, as he describes, that they introduced to President Woodrow Wilson could be the president, why didn't she?
Mm.
But why did you need Woodrow? You know, why do you need, if the question is that if I don't know, I don't want to go too, it may seem, but if Valerie Jarrett could be, if she feels like she's supposed to lead the country, why don't she run for office? You know what I'm saying? That would be great. She'd have a chance to be elected, you know? And so we're finding out, you know, we're not saying the president's locked in a room somewhere like Woodrow Wilson, but it is true that this is reportedly the most absent president from all these different events because he's at home with the family. But we're finding out he's not there alone. Mm-hmm. They're not there alone. That Valerie Jarrett's having popcorn with him and, you know, this longtime, quote, family friend. And so alone is not alone. And when Woodrow was alone, he wasn't alone.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So we're finding out. So then it matters who you marry. It matters who you're alone with, if they're the ones determining what's happening, because you can have true authority that, for example, our president is the president of the United States. And so spiritually speaking, in regards to the church, that we honor that.
Right.
Him, so we pray for him, and we want to make sure that we just want to pray that God speaks to him and gives him protection, gives him wisdom to lead the country, and he's got a lot of tough decisions to make. But we didn't vote anybody else in. This is not 2-for-1, 3-for-1, 5-for-1. This is not Walmart.
Right.
This is government. But it's happened for years. You know, if you go back and look at all the different things that have taken place, the question is, we need to know spiritually, how do we need to pray? What's going on in the context of this? And so just this morning, I believe it on Fox, was it Fox News?
Yes.
Yeah, they're talking about, tell us what's happening with it, Fox News.
Well, this is an article that one of the gentlemen from Fox program, Steve Doocy, had with the author, Ed Klein, who wrote a book called The Amateur. And the book is about the president, but it's also about some information in regards to Valerie Jarrett, and he calls her the de facto president. Ed Klein does. And so we do have a transcript of that interview.
We'll just watch it right now. I want to hear this because this comes out after we're revealing what the Lord's laying on our heart. Let's listen.
Actually, this was a little bit before, but okay. We just came to our revelation now.
Okay.
Our next guest says one of President Obama's most trusted advisors, Valerie Jarrett, has a mysterious hold over the president and the first lady and has influenced the president to make some unwise decision. Here's how the president describes his relationship with senior advisor Valerie Jarrett. Valerie is one of my oldest friends. Over time, I think our relationship evolved to the point where she's like a sibling to me. I trust her completely. So who is Valerie Jarrett and why does she have such an influence on President Obama? Ed Klein is the author of the soon-to-be number one New York Times bestseller, The Amateur, Barack Obama in the White House. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Nice to have you. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
She has unique power for somebody working inside the White House.
We haven't seen anything like this in modern presidential history. One person who's the best friend of the first lady and the soulmate of the president, who is the last person to leave the Oval Office after a meeting, goes upstairs to the family quarters, has dinner with the president, goes on vacation with him, has his ear, is de facto president of the United States.
Wow, that is big. Well, let's talk about her resume. Does she have the resume to have this job?
No, she doesn't. But what she does have is the trust of Michelle Obama, number one, whom she hired in Chicago, and the president, who uses her as his gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. She keeps away people who might come in and in some way embarrass the president, try to get him to do things that he doesn't want to do. She is his, the radar for the president and the first lady.
You refer to, in your book, you talk about she has also been responsible for much of the incompetence and amateurism that have been the hallmarks of Obama's time in office. Let's talk about some of the things. The SEAL Team 6 raid that killed Osama bin Laden.
This is the one time that the president that I know of didn't take her advice. For months, she argued that he should not send a SEAL team in there because she was afraid that if it didn't work, it would be a political disaster for him. He did not take her advice that one time, and things worked out very nicely.
Right, and that's the biggest thing of his administration.
That's
because
right.
They were going to hang their hat on health care, but David Axelrod said, Mr. President, don't do it. And she said,
do it. Go for broke. You came here to engineer social change in this country. I mean, she's a very, very liberal person. And she, for instance, urged him to put that mandate on church-related organizations that were required to give free health care for contraceptives.
Right.
This was against the advice of Joe Biden, the vice president, against the advice of Bill Daley. Bill Daley brought Cardinal Dolan into the Oval Office to try to get the president to reverse himself. And when Valerie Jarrett heard that, she went to the president, blew her stack, and Bill Daley was shortly ushered out.
Yeah, more powerful than the chief. That's something. A lot of people were curious, why on earth would the president of the United States have gone to Copenhagen to push for the Summer Olympics to go to Chicago? Well, she used to work for Mayor Daley, the mayor of Chicago. Is there a connection?
A big connection, because if the Olympics had gone to Chicago, there were billions of dollars that would have been spent on building Olympic infrastructure. The president did take her advice, did go to Copenhagen, and of course, as we know, he came back with egg on his face because we didn't get the Olympics.
Real quickly, Ed, before you go, the mainstream media has really ignored the amount of influence this woman from Chicago has over this administration.
It is quite amazing because she is really ground zero in the White House, and the administration has followed her advice, and the mainstream media has largely ignored it.
No kidding. All right. We'll read all about her in The Amateur, Barack Obama in the White House. Ed Klein, we thank you very much for joining us live.
Thank you so much.
This is amazing to watch what's happening. And what we're seeing is it looks like when we're talking about spiritually speaking, you're looking at a seduced power. And you know, the tendency for all of us is because we all feel so inadequate. We feel so inadequate. Mm-hmm. We want to lean unnaturally on people that have talents and that type of thing. But the truth is that God takes very seriously those in authority, and he expects us to turn to him and take counsel around us, mm-hmm. but turn to him in the context of that. And there's many people willing to take advantage of leaders by saying, I'll handle that. I'll get the property for you, Ahab. And we'll talk more about that in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. and we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about, you know, what is the spirit over America? What's happening in America? And with that, we're seeing some manifestations that happen in the church and everywhere, but we're also seeing some things talked about in our leadership of our country in regards to potentially seduced authority or not. And, you know, as you heard, that, you know, Valerie Jarrett has, she recruited Michelle Obama and then came after that was her fiance Barack. And so she's very significant in the context, a long 21-year friend, I believe, or something of that nature. And I do want to say, you know, if she's a friend and she's not seducing power and that type of thing, that's a great asset to have somebody that's in every meeting that you have that knows your heart and that knows the way you think, that can call to remind you of your vision and what you're doing. It's not necessarily a negative thing. And to one example of that is President John Kennedy, who so many people have this great admiration for. He had his brother Robert in the room all the time, and it didn't matter what it was. And not only did he have his brother Robert in the room, but he used Robert.
Yeah,
he used Robert, but it was actually what President Kennedy wanted done. So
and Robert truly had his back, had his brother's back, had the president's back.
Well, yeah, that's what their dad told him. But he would let Robert do the tough things. But they talked about it, and then he would be like the good guy and but he knew that, you know, Robert didn't do anything unless Jack. And so understand this, that just because somebody's close to somebody doesn't mean that's a negative thing. It could be a lifelong friend. I mean, who a better, because I'm sure it's a very isolated life, you know, living in the White House. But also it's a place we're talking about, you know, why are we in this spiritual place? Why are we shoving and nudging Israel? Why is Israel not rebuking our president, which we'll be talking about today's programs? Is that something's going on.
Yeah.
And as we begin to just study and learn that Valerie Jarrett is Iranian born, but is American born, you know, in Iran. And there was alleged reports that she was negotiating with the Ayatollah, which the White House, you know, denies it happening. But they're saying today And Israel knew about it for about a year, that these talks that are going on now started about under the other president, which was, I forget the other president of Iran's name.
Ahmadinejad?
Yeah, Ahmadinejad. Yeah. That, and so they had to be negotiating with some consistent power, which would have been the Ayatollah, who just called the prime minister a rabid dog in the midst of these things.
Which, of course, this is just came out, unknown sources or very little, but the AP just picked it up as well now. I mean, this is about
the rabid dog?
No, about the conversations between Valerie and the Ayatollah.
Yeah, make sure that's the source so everybody can see that. But and the thing about it is like, this is serious stuff. I mean, one man, one woman can't be president. Although they have to have people around them that they can trust, that they can do these things. But they're an extension of their own brain, their own vision. And so this cabinet and this specialty cabinet, I believe she has a more secret service than others in the history of assistance and stuff. And I can see why, because she's making huge national decisions for our country.
The National Review says in an article called The Jarrett File that she commands a staff of nearly three dozen and has a hand in decision-makings, invitations to state dinners, and gifts to foreign leaders, even folks that are nominated to the Supreme Court.
Right. And the book that just came out that you just heard the interview with Fox News on the earlier program, I believe it was, or this program, is the book's called Amateur.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that, and you can see all this on the VFN Torch and its sources, and I'll go to VFNTV.com. When they were discussing about when Americans were discussing about who they wanted to be president, they were discussing everybody at the JFK library, and they were deciding on who they wanted to select to be president. And our current president was their last choice. You can watch this whole panel. You can watch them talk about it. You can watch every bit of it. They thought he was the least likely to do what they wanted done, which at that time they would have called him an amateur in regards to what they're wanting done, because they wanted somebody that had the courage, as they put it, quote, and could have this transformational presidency. And then all of a sudden you started hearing the speeches, you know, fundamental transformation, and we got to change a few things. We got to rewrite history, and all these things are coming out. And that's just, they went for it.
Yeah.
And everything shifted. And here we are. The question is, though, when you're seeing someone have this kind of power that they didn't get elected. I mean, they would talk about, you know, wives of presidents in the past. They would say, well, you know, she has too much power. Nancy Reagan and others would say that about different spouses. Hillary Clinton, yeah. The president, Bill Clinton's wife. And but what could be worse than a spouse's having too much authority in the context of that is just an individual and running the country. And it seems like that's happening. And what we're looking at, spiritually speaking, is this book called Amateur means if I feel like I don't know how to do this, if I don't know how to get Naboth's property, I will turn to Jezebel. I will turn to, which is no masculinity, femininity turn. I'm not talking about women or men. I mean, you just start turning to somebody who says, I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. And next thing you know, but they have different motives. I mean, we would have a lot more talented people doing what we're doing if we just stuck to gifts, right?
Jeez.
But instead, we're limping along in the context of it, because just because you have a gift don't mean that you're, you know, you're God.
Catch the first hour.
Yeah, catch the first hour. And please, please humble yourself, you know, anyway, so it can be used. And, you know, with that, knowing this, then that what we're seeing in the White House, I believe it's the same thing we're seeing in what is called the church house, where Christians gather in America, where you know, leaders are hired, they're interviewed, they submit resumes, they have search committees, they determine who they want based on what they're telling this person they want, and they go, okay, we'll hire you, and next thing you know, they're leading. Supposedly, they're the front man or front woman for that particular church gathering. But the truth is, there's a Valerie on the board somewhere. There is a, you know, we talk about World War I, World War II, Well, Woodrow Wilson, that's like WW, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was at World War One, but he had Woodrow Wilson's wife one, and you have Woodrow Wilson's wife two, right? WW2.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking at right now, we're talking about World War Three. This definitely could be potentially be Woodrow Wilson wife three.
Mm.
This could be the very same thing going on. But we have to understand that this is just reflecting the church. It's reflecting the church. How many people say, hey, I want to do things God's way in the church, but you bring up God's way and they look at you like you're an enemy. And it's like, didn't you just say you wanted to do things God's way? Right. Wouldn't you want to bring in his blueprint? And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I just want to say I want to do things God's way, but I want to do it my way. And you're seen as an enemy, bringing in, okay, this is how it is. You don't hire someone to be over you. That's a hireling. They're going to run. You have to pray and ask God to lead someone to be there, or maybe raise up from your own number to begin to lead. Because this process has caused atheists to be over churches now. ABC News, you can see it on the VFN Torch. They're interviewing atheists that are shepherds over pastors. And Jude talks about that too. He talks about shepherds that only feed themselves. But you can have an atheist, because the wrong ways happen. And so we're seeing what's happening in Washington, D.C., a reflection of what happened in the church. And this is what our president said. And there's something about our current president that he just tells it like it is. He says, I'm a Christian just like you are. I'm a Christian just like you are. And you know what?
He's right.
He's one of us. Mm-hmm. He's one of the church. And it's like, dear God, you know, forgive us. Maybe you're speaking to us through our authority, the authority, the elected president of the land, that said we need to turn back to you. Where we see the White House, we're seeing our house. We're seeing what happens in our home and our marriages with our friends. Dear God, forgive us. And we pray for the president. We pray protection over him, and that you would give him wisdom and godly counsel in Jesus' name.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses. We even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.